From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Portbred, boys and girls, on a week where I've been cultured, nearly, or something like that. My name's Eric Wiltshire. Behave, I'll introduce you in a moment. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, which are still covered in snow in the east of Slovakia. And what's more, down here, it's well over 20 degrees. I was in Prague the other day, and it was 25 degrees, which, I have to think about this one. 78. I thought it was 82.
No, that's your age.
Thank you. I thought you doubled it and added 32.
Only when you're talking about... No, sorry, carry on.
Anyway, this is Postcard from Poprad. Hi to guys at Talk Radio, X-Replay Radio, Audio Boo on the iPhone, and, of course, you lovely folks via RTI.fm, which seem to be increasingly growing, which is very kind of you, and wherever else you happen to be listening to us in the world. The alternative sideways look at the news, that's the programme, where we also try to, shall we say, out the establishment.
Out the establishment,
which is one of our pet joys.
Pet joys.
And on the zit of the nose of Europe is my cohort this week, Lee Banks.
That's me, ladies and gentlemen, yes. And in Britain, yet again, we're having another torrential downpour of drought.
I love it.
Honestly, it is that bad here now. I went swimming, ladies and gentlemen. I went swimming to take my mind off this drought experience. You know what I did?
Well,
I did 25 lengths of my garden.
I was going to say, was that from your front door to the car?
I can't believe it. I've actually had to light a coal fire. It is so cold.
No.
This is summer in the UK.
I was walking around in Prague at 10 o'clock at night in just shirt sleeves. Yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we've heard about people like you.
Oh, wonderful stuff. Anyway, on the programme this week, thank you to a well-known website in the UK, which has told us something suicidal about the Voice of America. We'll also be looking at Claire's legacy, a young lady running in the marathon, the full story there, an update on Robin Gibb, an interesting couple of days with Mr. Rupert Murdoch in the dock, well, not in the dock, literally, but giving evidence here, there and everywhere, and also his views on Mr. Brown. And, of course, the UK economy is doing so well, it went down again. Marvellous. Having said that, we got some slightly positive news from the Olympics. I must say a big thank you to the Czech police force who helped me out because I was going nowhere fast. And I also have to say, if ever you get a chance to go to what is called the Prague Spring, and it's a cultural festival. Notice I said cultural festival, Mr. Banks.
I did. I made my yoghurt joke before. So
thank
you. It's all over it.
Because every week I'm accused of being,
cultural philistine.
A cave dweller. A philistine, cave
dwellers used to do paintings on the wall.
Oh, thank you. So I'm accused of having no culture. So the chairman took me to see, what was it called?
Toscanini. Why is it Nini?
There's no Nini on it.
There is a Toscanini. Tosca. I know what that sounds like, but I'm not saying.
Thank you. Anyway, so we went to watch Tosca in the Royal Opera Theatre in the middle of Prague.
Did you know what it was about?
Yes, because they put subtitles up on the top.
Yeah, but did you know why they were singing, or do you think they were just talking in very high voices?
No. I know the story roughly, but
the story?
Well, she likes him. He gets in trouble with the police. The policeman tries to have his wicked way with her.
Diddle.
Yeah, he negotiates to save this bloke's life. She then kills the policeman, Chappie, who in turn has written a paper to let them go, but has given the axeman, or the executor, another message which says, shoot him, but use real bullets, not blank ones. So she goes to see him just before the execution, thinking everything's going to be okay, and he acts well and lays on the floor. When she goes round to him, he's dead. So the policeman's dead. The lover boy's dead. She then jumps off the cliff and kills herself. So they're all dead.
I know. It's basically a rewrite of Romeo and Juliet.
It's basically a rewrite of every country song ever written.
It's basically a rewrite of my life. I've not been shot dead yet.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get underway. Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
It's this time, really. Bells are tolling.
Death.
Oh, death looms for the voice of America. Subtitle: Which idiot is running the voice of America? Which Philistine is trying to destroy the voice of America? What Neanderthal has no idea about broadcasting in the real world? I have spent more than 90% of my life fighting governments. I was fighting one here as well about radio, and here I am again, doing it yet again. And I asked my colleague Lee, what do you think to the notion that the voice of America, the powers that be, the big Capitol Hill place that controls so much of the world's money and resources, has decided in its infinite wisdom that there's a great idea to save some money, because that's all it is. Let's take English out of the voice of America.
Well, I think it is actually quite shameful. Well, getting it in quite a serious vein, why do they feel that the nations which are deprived, nations which are cut off and are probably oppressed, no longer need the English language to be broadcast in there? The freedom to listen to news, the freedom to know what's going on in the world, presented to them in a coherent fashion. The BBC have done the same thing almost.
Yeah, and look at the BBC's philosophy is to broadcast quality to the disenfranchised in the world. And correct me if I'm wrong, Lee. Now, let me just tell you a little story. Last night, I turned on my big, obscenely large satellite dish.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm going to check this. So when I look on one of the European satellites, I find dozens of Voice of America TV channels. Not radio channels. Not nothing else. Loads of Voice of America. By the way, for anybody in the USA is listening to this and can write to a congressman or a senator, I'm referring to a satellite called Eurobird. And on Eurobird, there are loads of VOA TV channels. Now, again, correct me if I'm wrong. I've now moved to the middle of Africa, even to the north of Africa, where Hotbird is receivable. How many people there have got a big satellite system and a television and even electricity to watch the darn programmes, but they can listen to shortwave radio?
I think that's a brilliant point, because I did say to Eric earlier on, well, what's the problem? Why can't people listen on the internet? Why don't they now move on into this burgeoning age of internet radio? And quite rightly, what he said is exactly what he's just said now. People in these countries, the nations that are now being abandoned, don't get the internet.
They haven't got electricity, some of them.
That's right.
So currently, let me give you a list, boys and girls, of the insanity, the suicide that's going on around the Voice of America. The leaked document says, which is on heritage.org, which is a wonderful site, and please go there, 70-plus positions from broadcasting in English and the English newsroom will result in the elimination of worldwide English, turning it into an internet and social media feed.
Which we've just shown up to be an untruth.
But there is a logic to what they're doing, Lee. Really? There is.
Well, I can see the logic from
reading. There's a logic. What these people do is they sit up on Capitol Hill, scratching their backsides. They never go out, have probably not even got a passport and gone out of the USA, and therefore assume that because they've got the internet and social media, everybody else in the world's got it. Well, let me tell you, people up there, wake up and smell the coffee. It's not like that. It really is not.
I was out in India, and there are parts of India where they don't have the internet.
Funny that. So why don't they know? And then it gets better, Lee. The total elimination of the Cantonese service.
That's right. That was the point I was going to make, but you can make it instead.
Thank you. It's going to save $965,000.
Which is what? Less than half a million pounds.
No, but it's still a lot of money.
So, no, it isn't. Yes, not it in is. A worldwide context.
It's a lot of money. But if they were to ditch 4 or 5 meals across the course of a year, they would save that amount of money. But already, yeah, in a country that is crying out for jobs, if they eliminate the Cantonese service, and already 70 positions are out in the English service, that's not very good, is it, Mr. Obama? You're cutting jobs. Then they're going to cut even more jobs in the Dari and Pashto languages for Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Cuts of a major part in the Tibetan service.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, all the Tibetans are going to sit there and go, hang on a minute, we're having a dispute about who we are. We thought the US was a nice guy. And the US are basically saying to us, we don't care, mate. Don't give a damn.
Isn't this possibly part of the new insularity that America is adopting as its face to be presented to the world?
Could be. But then it gets even more good. Oh, unbelievable! Cuts in Turkish, which at this point is operating only on the internet. Like the whole of Turkey's got the internet.
Well, that's a Turkish delight.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we've got cuts in Georgian.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Well, now it just makes you think what I've just said, doesn't it? There, let's cut ourselves off from Russia as well.
Yes. And then we've got other cuts, including major cuts in Spanish.
That's only because Spain's going down the pan.
Well, no, actually, where was it? Haiti, wasn't it? Where that big earthquake was on. And don't they speak Spanish out there?
Well, they're not going to speak English anymore, are they?
Well, that's true. And seriously, if you're cutting services like that, and if you want to portray a positive, caring front to the world, Mr. Americas...
Mm-hmm.
Then why would you kill Spanish off? Because with a decent medium wave transmitter, you could broadcast into there and actually give people a whole bunch of information about health, where the good water is, where the food's available, because their infrastructure's broken. And again, once the infrastructure's broken, they're not going to have their smartphones and their iPads and their iPhones and their internet, because none of it works.
But isn't the Voice of America... a government-owned...
Government-funded, entity. Yeah, it's an agency.
So does this not then smack of the problem you get when the media is owned by a government?
I wouldn't say that, but I can see that there are pressures on the dollar, and I accept that. But just to round up this whole lot, the Bangladeshi service, which is, you know... not an area of the world, as we know from even looking at the news there in the last couple of days, is what you could describe as stable. Even for these people where they have horrible flooding, horrible droughts, they have all sorts of things that when we moan about it, we shouldn't really moan, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, if you try and give information to some of these people on the internet, I bet some of them don't even know what it is.
Exactly. So, why are they doing it, Eric? Just to save £500,000?
Well, I have a question.
Go on, then.
In fact, I've got a couple of questions, which I'll come to in a minute. But first of all, I would like to share a couple of stories. And I know I'm banging on a bit about it this week, but this is really serious. If the government's all cut back on things that provide a genuine global public service, I wonder what the point is. And I'll share this story with you now. Because before, when when RTI was a music service, we're now a speech service, so we can't play music. This gentleman came into my office with, and bless him, he was about 70 years young. He got flowers and a bottle of something, a bottle of alcohol. And, of course, being an English upright, honest man, I'm not used to flowers being offered to me. I give flowers to women. Men don't give flowers to men because we're not like that. And so I'm sitting there going, not sure about this. And he wouldn't go away. He insisted on seeing me. So I went with my PA because at that time I couldn't speak Slovak. And he stood up, watery-eyed, and he shook my hand for so long, I thought my fingers were going to break for a minute. And he said to me this: in the old days, to listen to beep, I would have to go about 20 kilometres from my house, about 16 miles, and uncover this old crank radio, which had like a bicycle configuration on it to power it. He would then throw a piece of copper wire out so nobody could see it. He would put his headphones on, and he would tune in to the Voice of America, because it was the only way he could get news in Poprad. But this special night, because at 7 o'clock that night, RTI was carrying the Voice of America with Larry London, he was going to drive round Poprad in his very old Skoda, which looked nearly as old as him, as it goes, with the windows open and the radio on flat out, and was going to drive round the town for the entire hour of the programme just because he could. That's what the Voice of America means to the public. Equally, I was in Latvia, and I would get the same reaction for both the BBC World Service, which has been axed to pieces, and the Voice of America. Just this very morning, before we came on air, I looked at an email from a gentleman who's seen the notice that I've managed to plaster all over Facebook, you people in Washington, and one of them really grabbed me. And it's all it's got on there is a message: this was what it was like in the old days. And it links to a website explaining every country that jammed radio signals and yet the VOA got through. That's how much it means to people. Notwithstanding the job cuts that are going on, Mr. President, notwithstanding the fact that I think it's about time the American media woke up. Why are you not doing this, American media? What are you afraid of? And also, isn't there an election coming this year? Let's make sure people in the US, that the message gets out that the president is allowing your flagship program, your flagship station of the world, to be axed. And it looks like it's not much more than $965,000. How sad is that?
And may I just back what Eric's just said, that there is nothing published anywhere except on heritage.org about this.
And on RTI now.
And on RTI, of course.
And on Facebook. And lots of multi-thousand pages on Facebook, Mr. Obama, and anybody else that's listening. And I will continue to do this. Also, what I'd like to encourage our listeners to do, Lee, as I know there's lots and lots of them from all over the place that have a positive memory or a feeling about the Voice of America. And I've cleared this with our affiliate stations as well, so thank you guys, wherever you're taking the programme. I would like people to write to studio@rti.fm, and we'll put it on Facebook for you, with why the VOA should not be cut. What message do you want read out to the president? What message do you want read out to the numpties in Capitol Hill who think it's a cool idea to kill off the flagship programme of America. You send the messages in, as long as there's no naughty words in them, and I'll read them out, because I don't care. Somebody somewhere has got to stop the lunacy of the VOA committing suicide. Because if there's no English language service, there's no Voice of America. And don't forget, the station is called Voice of America. Notwithstanding, there are some excellent, highly professional, amazing, brilliant broadcasting people in that organisation. And I know. So please, Mr. President, will you wake up? People around the world won't be very happy with you. And as America is built up on so many different cultures, there's over 3 million Slovaks in the USA. Well, that's what they claim.
Mm-hmm.
So if 3 million people vote against you because you're insulting the place by cutting services off that think you're wonderful, I wonder how many more would do exactly the same thing. And hey, presto, you're on the dole queue.
Can I add something?
You can. I'm sorry, I was ranting there, wasn't I?
No, you can rant. You rant beautifully.
Oh, thank you.
But may I say heartfelt to my colleagues in the press, in the print media, who have totally, completely and utterly ignored this story since it first was muted about 8 months ago?
Yeah.
That they have ignored it. There is no reason to ignore it, chaps. Get off your big, fat, middle-class what word I can't use.
Mm.
Get and start writing and investigating this. They aren't the enemy. The broadcast media isn't our enemy. They are our friends.
Mm.
Tell the world. Tell the American public about it. The English press tell the world about it. This is despicable.
Thank you. We'll take a quick jingle break at that point for Lee and I to calm down. And we will be back very, very, very shortly. Welcome back to Postcard from Pop Brad. I think we'll have to be a bit... Well, no, we're not going to be lighter at all, are we?
Unfortunately.
No, we're not going to be at all lighter at the moment. Sad story about a young lady called Claire Squires. But actually, her memory is going to do an awful lot.
Well, it is. And she's already, I think she's broken through the million-pound barrier. This is the story of the young woman that got 30 years old, wasn't she?
Yes.
Who collapsed and died in the first mile of the London Marathon. Mm. Absolute tragedy. Anyway, she was running for charity, her story's touched the nation so much, and in fact touched people across the world, that they've started to contribute to the small fund that she was trying to raise 500 quid for charity.
Yep.
She's now raised over £1 million. Terrible way to do it. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
But
And the sad thing is she's going to be buried next to her brother Grant next week, who she was raising the money for. But I have to say, if you haven't seen it yet, this is one where we can compliment our colleagues in the media and in the print and television and radio, all of whom have done an amazing job promoting this charity appeal. And I just hope it carries on. Good luck to Robin Gibb as well.
Yeah, well, there we have it. Poor old Robin Gibb. He's not a well man, not been a well man for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked really like that was it.
I thought it was.
Yeah, but he isn't. He's back. He's laughing and joking. He's sitting up in hospital. He's telling his wife he's really happy and he just wants to get out of hospital, wants to get back doing. He didn't even have a 10% chance of survival.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. He's only 62 as well, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And if you didn't know the full story, Robin fell into a coma last week from pneumonia. But now all of a sudden, he's sitting up in bed.
Yeah, good on him.
Yes.
Can't say that I particularly think the Bee Gees are the world's greatest.
Excuse me.
They were a clone of the Beach Boys.
Oh, please.
Not the police, no, the Bee Gees.
Oh, please. the Bee Gees were a clone of the Beach Boys.
Yeah, singing
help
it.
Help me, Rhonda. Help, yeah. Help me, Rhonda.
Yeah. What was he? What was that bloke called? Little Thing. What was he called?
Tiny Tim.
Yeah, Tiny Tim. That's who they were. There were four Tiny Tims.
They were the grandparents of disco.
Exactly. And jived. What's that done for the world? That's as bad as old Bomber cutting off the VOA.
I wouldn't say that. Bee Gees were a marvellous band. Yeah. We got a couple of minutes to round up what's going on in the Leveson report.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Everybody's quaking because Mr. Murdoch's here. Mr. Murdoch's saying, I'm sorry. Murdoch Jr. was saying sorry. Mm. And yet this whole thing is going on. And actually, if they stopped it, Lee, that would save about £1 million.
Absolutely.
So they could give that to the Voice of America. And the Cantonese is back.
And then they could broadcast what's going on all over the world. Yeah, exactly. But no, think of it this way. Think of it this way. Is Murdoch the world's greatest red top? Is he actually done something incredible? As he stands there being contrite, showing all contrition and being so sad and saying, I'm so sorry. What he's actually doing is shining a light from the demise news of the world into the beds of the great and the untrustworthy. Mm. He's shown Cameron out to be, or Cameron's department out to be liars or incompetent. One way or the other, incompetent or liars, they shouldn't be doing the job. And he's shown Gordon Brown to be a madman. What a wonderful thing for him to be doing.
The world lives on. Absolutely, yeah. By the way, boys and girls, and especially those from around other parts of the world thinking of investing in the UK, we're exploring a story at the moment which we know will be concluded by next week, and we're going to tell you every reason why you should not invest in the UK.
It's a very interesting point, isn't it? Why I'm aware too what this story is, and I tell you what, it could be very upsetting.
Yes, I would say to anybody at the moment, wait a week before you invest anything in the UK, because we got an expose next week which will make the best BBC journalists turn their heads.
And it is a good accolade to 100 years of journalistic experience between us. They have no place to hide.
Only 100 years, Lee.
Well, yeah, I was letting you off. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, we'll be back in part two of Postcard from Pop Brand, where we'll be looking at the double dip. Oh, my word. Ooh. It's so negative. And don't forget, boys and girls, if you would like to write with the reasons why Mr. Obama and the Senate and Congressional crew en masse should keep the VOA alive. The email address is studio@rti.fm. That's studio@rti.fm. Or in turn, write to us and copy it to your congressman as well. Because if you send the thing to the Congress and the Senate and they don't do anything about it, we'll read it out for you. We'll be back in a second.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Eric... Give me a break.